Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. So welcome to my channel. Anyway, I'm speaking about the Swiss Confederation these days, breaking their traditional neutrality, which extends back over 200 years. That noise is a fan heater, by the way, just trying not to die of cold. I was outside and it was gelid. Even with five layers on, I felt frightfully cold. Anyway, so Switzerland, well, it's got fearful cold at the Matterhorn, but gave a warm welcome to President Volodymyr Zelensky when he flew into Bern today. That small city, which is the capital of Switzerland, so named Bern because of the bear pits. And yes, there are real live bears there, you can see. But that's cruel to animals. Anyway, that's what it takes its name from. So he met with the president of the Swiss Federal Council, chair of the Swiss Federal Council, I should say, because Switzerland doesn't have a head of state as such, not as an individual. It's got a 10-person federal council, and one person is chair, and he or she may serve as chair for 1 year, once ever. No second terms. You can't come back later stage. That's it. So sort of going back to the ancient Roman idea of the way you prevent tyranny is by term limits as well. Because, as I say, the chair is actually not the head of state. The head of states are all 10 of them. But that seems preposterous because a foreign head of state has to meet one person, speak one-to-one. And so the foreign head of state will meet whoever the chair is. It's a lady at the moment. Anyway, Switzerland, since they were invaded by France under Napoleon, they withdrew from that and they had no enemies and they had no allies. And remember, they were surrounded by mighty states, by France, by eventually by Germany that united, by the Holy Roman Empire, later, you know, the Austrian Empire, latterly by Italy. So four neighbors which were much bigger than them. And sometimes they were superpowers. And they could have conquered Switzerland. So the Swiss decided they would arm to the teeth and stay out. So peace through strength. And in the First World War, the Second World War, there were feasibility studies done by either side. Could they invade Switzerland? Well, yes, they could. But really, there would be no concomitant advantage in relation to the number of casualties they're likely to sustain. Because the Swiss saying, we'll defend every single mountain pass, we'll blow up every single bridge. Every man has a gun. All Swiss men, they do their one-year military service. They're called back for a couple of weeks refresher every year. And we could go from a small standing army to an enormous, relative to the population of 7 million, an enormous army in time of war. And so it was both concluded by both sides that it wasn't worth it, that you couldn't do some lightning campaign there to flank the other side on a frontier they weren't really guarding, because the Swiss would really slow you down and you'd suffer too many casualties. And if any economic resources, it was cheaper to buy them. It usually is, actually. There's this canard that, for example, the liberation of Iraq was undertaken for the sake of getting grubby hands on Iraqi oil. It would have been far, far cheaper to buy it. You think of the trillions of dollars was spent liberating Iraq and keeping the Ba'athists, Al-Qaeda, and its Shia mirror images at bay. It's just cheaper to purchase it and have done with it. Anyway, so Zelensky's there. And when Russia launches illegal war of unprovoked aggression against Ukraine, Switzerland actually came down the side of Ukraine. Normally, we're not to peep out of them about foreign conflicts. We keep our nose out of anybody else's business. And till not so long ago, till maybe the late 90s, we don't care who you are, how you made your money. You can put it in our bank with no questions asked. We're not here to moralize. So Switzerland was actually, by Western European standards, a poverty-stricken country in the 20th century. And that's why so many went abroad to seek work, partly because it's got those official languages, German, French, Italian, and Romanche. Romanche is like a melange of Latin and German. Only 2% of the population speak. I've heard it on Swiss telly. I've only met one Romanche-speaking person ever, but they're usually fluent speakers of German too. So they're speaking the three other major European languages. And no, not every Swiss speaks all of them. You either speak, if you're a Swiss Roman, speaking French as your mother tongue, and you'll learn German at school, but probably not be quite fluent. And if you're a Swiss German, yes, you'll speak Schweizerdeutsch as well as standard German. And you'll learn some French at school, but maybe not quite master it, be conversational in it, and so forth. Going down the valleys into these neighboring countries to find gainful employment. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, eat your heart out. But that's often working in hotels, a lowly position. So that's why in German, oh, it's not German, sorry, French, like, I'll get there eventually, in Ruski. That's the word for the doorman at a hotel is Schwitzer, because there were so many Swiss people who did it. And César Ritz was a famous case in point, as in the Swiss who moved to Paris and founded the Ritz Hotel, the king of hoteliers and the hotelier of kings. And of course, it's such a well-renowned brand all across the world. But then the Swiss, they just managed to stay out of the First World War, Second World War, even the Cold War. Got to hand it to them for achieving that. They did the best for the Swiss people. And I know the people saying, yes, but my great-grandfather fought in this war and we're gallant, you're cowardly and whatever. But it's very easy for you to say decades later, because you're not there in the brunt of it. You're not putting yourself in harm's way. And quite apart from being killed or wounded, you're not the one there soaked to the skin, freezing in a trench and not had any food for 3 days and absolutely reeking because you've been running around sweating and getting muddy and you can't wash and things like that. And seeing your friends shrieking in agony as they die and seeing the corpses stuck out there in no man's land, smelling them rotting away and seeing them nibbled by rats and maggots and stuff like that. You're not the one going through that horrific experience. And I don't think you go through it just so your great-grandchildren can indulge in such braggadocio 80 years later or something. So the Swiss, they did the best for the Swiss people. And I say, you lot, you're always so moralizing about your righteous cause, but you know, you do immoral things too, and your cause, your side is not purer than pure in these wars. It's very, very seldom one side 100% good and the other one has 100% evil. There's a lot of selective and willful myopia when it comes to these armed conflicts. So that's when the Swiss introduced those numbered bank accounts in the 1930s. People are able to deposit money and simply have a number to identify them. And the Swiss bank honestly couldn't tell you who the depositor was, even they wanted to. And the Swiss banking law, it was illegal to do so. So ill-gotten gains were squirreled away in these Swiss bank accounts. They'd sort them away there because they were confident that confidentiality really would be maintained. And so that all ended in the 90s. It was seeing that some valuables that were stolen from Jewish families by the Third Reich were sorted away in Switzerland. And this came to light in the 90s when a security guard at a Swiss bank there overnight began foostering around. And as he rooted around in these archives, he found what was what. He photocopied it, and you know, he went public. It all came out to the wash. So the Swiss paid a sithman. But they've sanctioned Russia because of this illegal war of aggression. And obviously that's a positive mood. And they've given a very small amount of weapons, a few Ukrainian refugees in Switzerland. A lot of people in Switzerland are actually non-Swiss. You know, on the streets of Zurich and Geneva, you can hear a lot of English. But, you know, this is a country that seems to have, like, no problems. It's so clean. It's so safe. Everything works like clockwork. And no, they didn't invent the cuckoo clock. That was the Bavarians. But I know it's very much associated with them. Swiss chocolate. I mean, Swiss spells quality. You expect everything done to a highest possible standard, but it comes at a price. Yes, it is eye-wateringly expensive. Swiss steaks and all the rest of it. I mean, there's a lot to be said for yodeling. Yodele, hee-hoo, Melania Ursch, Swiss Girl, as her album's called. She's my favorite. The finest living exponent of yodeling, which actually had a function, you know, signaling across the mountains so as not to cause an avalanche. We're safe, we're in danger, someone's broken his leg, we need someone evacuated, whatever. And that's how they used to do it before radios were invented, and then they turned it into artistry. So, and then President Zelensky's on to Davos, the World Economic Forum, which has been going since, I think, the early 70s. And he's going to meet many world leaders, central bankers, financiers, billionaires and such like, and quite a few journalists too. But the Russians and the Belarusians to boot have been barred since the January 2023 forum. Obviously, 2021 was just before Russia launched that war of aggression. So anyway, I hope he doesn't go back empty-handed. He's really got to fly the flag and keep this issue in the public eye, because public curiosity is waning. And as I say, enthusiasm is dipping. And why should we be doing this? Are we simply just prolonging the agony? Should we just let Russia win? What's in it for us? We've spent so much money. Can we afford to do it anyway? Are we actually doing the Ukrainians a favor by believing they can fight successfully when they can't, and they're just going to have to make some painful concessions? I mean, this is the muttering that you're hearing in many Occidental countries. Right, so I don't think Switzerland's going to join NATO. If they did, obviously, there's a long queue to join, but they'd be quite able. I mean, they've got no threats around them with all NATO countries who are their neighbours, with the single exception of Liechtenstein, which doesn't even have an army. They're Oben am Jungen Rhein, just across the Rhine from Switzerland. And they've got quite a high-tech army. It's one of those countries like Sweden or like Finland till not so long ago, took the view that we can't have a large military, but we can have an excellent one. So have state-of-the-art technology, some of which they manufacture, like Oerlikon. Those firearms. Oerlikon is this small town just outside Zurich. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. So please make sure you donate with the greatest possible generosity and subscribe on Patreon to see thousands more videos and read thousands more articles behind the paywall. So on PayPal, it's georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Right. Choose.